Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and I know a lot of people out there need hope for their marriages, and we're going to be talking to a guy that's been helping marriages for a long time. I love listening to this guy, Joe McGee. He is the founder and president of Joe McGee Ministries. Joe, thank you so much for being a guest on Hope Is Here.
Thank you, Greg. I'm honored to be here, buddy.
Well, talk to us. Why did you get started? Why did you start your ministry, Joe?
Short story made long, or a long one made short. I was working as an engineer. I love my job. I worked for three different electrical companies in about 10 years, and so I had my career planned out, but God had a different idea, and God got a hold of me, and I believe I was supposed to move off at 3 years of Bible school and got on the church staff as the education director. So I worked for a great local church. We are a big church at the time. We had about 3,000 people in the late 70s, early 80s, and growing like people just showing up. And so a lot of new Christians. And somebody suggested, Joe, we need a class on parenting. A lot of problems with our marriages and kids. And so we had six children, so people thought I knew something. I tell people, just because you know how to have them doesn't mean you know what to do with them when they show up. That's a different book. But people just assumed we knew something, so they asked us to take a Sunday evening one-hour class and teach on parenting. So we called it Biblical Parenting 101, and we did that for 8 years. Conferences every year, a pastor's conference, leadership conferences, and all the staff would participate. So I said, so could you teach them parenting? I said, yes. Then I was working with Oral Roberts University for about 10 years, crediting schools, and they would do the same thing. They had a National Christian School Conference every year in the summer, and Dr. Hansen said, Joe, can you teach something? I said, sure, I'll teach them parenting. And then the pastor of my local church, I was on his board for a long time, Willie George, Church on the Move, he had a national conference. He said, Joe, could you teach on something? I said, sure, I'll teach on parenting. So three times a year I did national conferences on parenting, and I didn't have any competition. There wasn't anybody. We had people that would teach on end times and on miracles and, you know, on different things, but nobody would teach on parenting. So it opened the door, and we began to travel. My pastor encouraged it, so I'd go out every week with my wife and kids. We'd do a Friday, Saturday somewhere within driving distance, maybe go to Kansas City or down to Dallas or Wichita, and I'd always be back in church for Sunday. And so people began to, we used to go every year with some of these. And so finally somebody said, hey, can you teach on marriage? I said, sure. I started teaching on marriage, and after a couple years of that, I said, hey, men? I said, sure. And so long story short, we do marriage, parenting, men, and we have a great financial seminar we do, because that's basically what's going on, because God promised in the last days, you know, the revival is going to be among families. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And so we've seen since the 50s, man, family been under, I mean, it's been under attack from day one. I mean, Adam and Eve, the first family, got fired from the job, evicted from the house, and the kids started killing each other. So hell came after the very first family. And so it's always been a war for the family. The devil hates the family. He tries to bust it up. If he can bust up a family, he'll bust up a church, he'll bust up a community, he can bust up a state and a nation. He goes after the home. So all the scriptures that God had, you know, because I had that engineering mindset, we started teaching on parenting, there's a ton of scriptures on train up the next generation. Who shall we teach the deep doctrines of God? Those weaned from their mothers. And the Bible is packed. God was concerned because the church, every church, Greg, is one generation away from being dead. Because God kept telling them to pass on the faith. The reason he picked Abraham to start the thing was, it wasn't because he was the greatest guy, because he had a bad habit of lying every now and then. He tried to give his wife away twice. So he wasn't exactly a model family man. But God said, I do know something about it. And you said, what? And he said, well, he will teach his children and his children's children, all those of us household after him. God knew something. This old man will pass on the faith to the next generation. And there are no perfect families. There's no perfect parents. But he's looking at somebody, hey, will you just pass on what you've learned? Yeah, I will do that. I'll just pass on what I've learned. And that's what opened up doors for us.
Well, it's been a blessing to me as I've listened to it over the past 10 years. And you travel all over the country now doing these seminars that just started out. It's just somebody asking you. And obviously God has blessed it, multiplied it. But let's talk a little bit about the one you do, Marriage Building 101. Talk to us about the difference between the male and female.
Well, that most of that came out of the public library because I had that engineering mindset. And what I was a process engineer. I was not an electrical engineer. I'm not a mechanical engineer. I'm what they call a process engineer. I study processes. I study how's this supposed to work, and let's work it the way it's supposed to work. Quit trying to hop it up. Now, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, man, I hopped up everything. I took the mufflers off my car. I jacked it back in. I make those steel things. My car, I couldn't even see the road. I saw high in the back, low in the front. You know, I reversed my wheels. I butchered every car I ever had. Well, it wasn't meant to do that. That's why it tore up really bad, and it couldn't stay in line. So you're doing stuff to that car it's not supposed to have done to it. So the same thing with a marriage. God meant marriage to be a blessing, man. The second greatest thing ever happens to a human is to get married. You know, he that finds a wife finds a good thing, God said, obtains favor from God. And so God said marriage is supposed to be good. I thought, well, what happened to the man? Because I had a big family. My dad had 12 brothers and sisters, and my father-in-law had 12 brothers and sisters. And so we had big family reunions, and so you saw the good, the bad, and the ugly. They had people that were great families, people that were just sorry as all get out. Some were hanging off the edge. It's like, what was the difference? Well, some went to church and some didn't, and some taught and some didn't. And you had the typical parents yell at their kids every family reunion, I'll be glad when you're out of my house, man. You're not going to mount the hill of beans. You're dumb as dirt. Well, the Bible says life and death in the power of the tongue. And I realize we get what we say. We get what we're saying to. We got to start saying something different. We've got to start teaching our kids what God says about them. And then we had to watch out, you know, with the families. And this is really the marriage thing where it started out, because so many people come to us, their marriages are hanging off the edge because of their kids. And we would talk to them, and they would compare themselves among yourselves. Why aren't you like your father? How come you're like your mother? And so we started teaching parenting, marriage about parenting, about, listen, guys, don't compare yourselves among yourselves. That may be your daughter, but she's not like her brother. She's not like your mother. You're not like your dad. God's a creative God. There's no two humans the same. No human has the same thumbprint, has the same voice print. God is a creative God, but God has the same standard. So marriage, God said marriage is a good thing. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. I thought, where'd it go south? And we realized there were four areas in marriage. And so our whole seminar is made up of these four things. We talked about the four reasons for divorce. Now, there's about 10. If you want to Google it, there's most countries. They said, well, there's really 10 reasons. So, well, if you boil it down, there's really four. Number one is communication, or a lack thereof. God gave every human two ears and one mouth. You need to listen more than you talk. If you're talking more than you're listening, you're probably going to have a fight. And the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. You can't yell at your spouse. That's not allowed. And besides that, that person you married, to your brother, sister, and the Lord, there are rules as to what you can or cannot say to your spouse. People say, well, I got a marriage license. I can say anything I want to. No, you cannot. That's your brother, sister, and the Lord. There are rules as to what you say and cannot say. Said, you know, don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that it might minister grace to the hearer. And let your yes be yes, your no be no. All else proceeds from the evil one. And so a lot of marriage counseling we would do, people would sit and say, well, I'll tell you what I think. Well, I'll tell you what I think. We don't want to know what you think. We need to know what the Word of God says. So we tell people, Jesus didn't find a church. He built one. Nobody gets lucky. And so many of our family, well, you got lucky. You married a nice person. No, I didn't. I married somebody that's meaner than a she-bear in a cave, man. Everybody's got flesh to go south on them. What I did, I made somebody the opposite sex. I made somebody that doesn't think like me. Every couple that gets married thinks, I'm in love. Sure, I'm in love. No, no, it's a six-cylinder hormone. You're going to wake up next to she-bear about 18 months from now. That hormone's going to wear off, and the real love's going to have to kick in. So when God was looking at Adam in the Garden of Eden, after he's made all that creation, on the sixth day, he's talking to himself. God said, well, that was good, that was good, that's good, that's good. And all of a sudden, God said, not good. The first time God said not good, he was looking at a man, Greg. He said not good. Adam said, what's not good? He said, you, not good. He said, you're alone. He had no concept of alone. It was just him, the birds, the bees, flowers, and trees. He said, here, Adam, lay down there and take a nap. Adam took a nap, and he woke up, missed the rib, and in front of him was the centerfold of all life. And he fell in love. And God said, listen, I'm going to make you a helper. Genesis 18, God said, I'm going to make you a helper, somebody that will help you. Well, number one, if you're not doing anything, you don't need help. So we tell all young men in our dating class we do this. Listen, Adam had two things. He had a relationship with God, and he had a job. He had a relationship with God. They talked every day in the garden, and he had a job. Well, if you have a relationship with God and you have a job, number three, you can get a spouse. But if you get a spouse, but you don't know God, you don't have a job, it's not going to go good. It really isn't, because the whole purpose of having a spouse is to find somebody you want to spend the rest of your life with, you know, chasing God together. And so I tell guys, if you don't have a vision, you have no business getting married. It starts with a vision. No vision, the people perish. So men that get married. She said, guys, you got to have a vision for your life. I just want to get married. Because when I was a kid, man, when I got out of high school, I was born in 1951. We had very basic goals. Get out of high school, get out of the Army, get married, and wait till you die. That's pretty much the whole of life, you know. So at 22, we thought we had life pretty much by the tail. But then things started going south. We never had divorces, people that I went to school with. And all of a sudden, the divorce rate's going up. What happened? Well, I married the wrong person. I married on the rebound. I married too late. I married to a... No, I tell you, you married your 180-degree exact opposite. Because couples would come... I had this couple last year. They've been married 31 years, Greg. And they're in church. They love Jesus, but they can't get along. And they think they're going to get a divorce. And I said, well, what's the problem? And the guys said, we don't agree on anything. We don't agree on anything. And I sat there replying. I said, you're made for each other. He said, what? Yeah, you're made for each other. The Bible says, two are better than one. It says, one can put 1,000 flat, two can put 10,000 flat. But you marry your exact opposite. You don't marry you. It's not a thing. The sexual thing. It's not Adam and Steve. It's Adam and Eve. When God made Eve, he made something totally different. She has the average woman in our country has got a higher IQ. She has a better immune system. The average woman will outlive the average man by 7 years. She speaks 3 times the number of words. Average man will speak 12,000 words a day. Average woman will speak about 30,000 words a day. She's going to out-talk you every day. God made her different. She can hear things that you can't hear, see things you can't hear. And so they always think, well, I married the wrong person. No, you married a gift from God. They're going to see problems you can't see. They're going to have answers for things you can't get. Two are better than one because it's not because you agree. It's because you see the problem from a different viewpoint. Two are better than one because, hey, I see this. What do you see? Well, I see this. Well, most couples start fighting instead of realizing, no, that's a gift from God. Man, I appreciate it. I didn't see that. You're a gift from God. You are a gift from God. So the whole seminar is really, it's very humorous, Greg. People laugh a lot. I said, listen, you married your perfect match. And for the rest of your life, and I said, baby, you can marry, listen, I'll tell them this. You can date somebody for 20 years and never get to know them. You will never get to know somebody until you marry them. The day you get married, scales will fall from your eyes. Revelation will come from heaven. You think, what did I just do? You married into that. And every nut in the family tree goes with it, man. Everything in there goes with it. Because opposites attract. God puts opposites together. There's a bumper sticker in Texas that says, when two people are just alike, one of them is not needed. And so people always come to me and say, I don't think we're supposed to be together. Why? We don't agree. You're perfect for one another. You're a gift to one another. You see things they don't see. You hear things they don't hear. You're a perfect match. You're a problem-solving unit. Matthew 5:9, that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. One translation in Greek says, blessed are the problem solvers. A peacemaker is a problem solver. You're not trying to avoid problems. You're trying to solve them. Two are better than one. It's a powerful unit.
All right. If you just tuned in, we are talking with Joe McGee. He is with JoeMcGeeMinistries.com, and he does some tremendous seminars. You can hear the passion he's talked about. The one we've been talking about today is Marriage Building 101. I want to encourage you to go to check his website to find out where he's doing these seminars, or maybe you want to bring him to your church to do one. You can go to his website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. That's McGee with a C. JoeMcGeeMinistries.com, and click on the tab that says seminars, and you will find out more information in a video clip on Marriage Building 101. But I hope you'll tune in tomorrow, as we're going to ask Joe about another seminar that he does called Biblical Parenting 101. So stay with us. You'll get to hear that great laugh and lots of wisdom from Joe McGee tomorrow on Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We'll see you tomorrow. Join us on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.